Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Trainor. Thank you so much for listening. This is a special bonus episode with WWE superstar CM Punk. We will have a second episode for you this week. If you're tuning in for the regular Thursday drop, this week's pod will be out Friday with John O'Ran from Puck and Trainor Thoughts with Sal Okada. This episode, bonus episode, solo interview with CM Punk from the WWE. CM Punk will be wrestling at SummerSlam this Saturday on Peacock. First match back from an injury that he suffered at the Royal Rumble. Get into a lot of things with CM Punk. Try to get him to comment on the possibility of Shane McMahon going to AEW. Didn't go well, as you'll hear. And got into a lot of other things with CM Punk. His return to WWE. Would he have come back if Vince was still in charge? How he deals with injuries. WrestleMania 40 main event. Cody winning the title. And where he was with wrestling during his time away from WWE. So all that on this episode with CM Punk, bonus episode. So check it out. And if you're not a subscriber to SI Media with Jimmy Trainor, hit that subscribe button. All right, let's get to it. WWE superstar CM Punk right here on SI Media with Jimmy Trainor. All right, joining me now, one of the top stars in the WWE. Huge event this Saturday, exclusively on Peacock from Cleveland Stadium, where the Browns play SummerSlam. He'll be facing Drew McIntyre, first match back from an injury. CM Punk, how's it going?
It's going. I'm happy to be here. Looking forward to Saturday.
Give me the breakdown of who calls you CM and who calls you Phil. Like I always get, when you guys come on, I'm always like, I don't know what to do. So give me the...
Yeah, well, that's a fantastic question. People who know me call me Phil, and then people right. who think they know me call me Phil. So it's a toss up, you know.
Then I'll do CM.
You can call me Punk. Punk. CM seems so. Ricky Punk. Steamboat calls me CM, and everyone always goes, that sounds weird.
Yeah, but when I was doing the intro, I'm like, "What's up, CM?" I was like,
"Yeah, Punk." Well, when you got, you know, when you curse yourself with a stupid code name, you know.
You're pretty good. I mean, you just have CM Punk and Phil Brooks. I've had WWE guys on here. There's like, you know, Roman comes on. I'm like, you're the head of the table. You're the everything. You know, he's got like 10 names. So it confuses me. So,
oh, well, those are all nicknames. I got way more nicknames than I feel like anybody. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll go with Punk. We'll do that. That's we got good. SummerSlam, like I said, but I'm going to come in hot just because I feel like, if you're any part of the wrestling world and you've been on social media today, everyone's losing their minds and going crazy because there's a photo of Shane McMahon meeting with Tony Khan, and you have a history with both AEW and WWE. I'll just say, Punk, what are your thoughts?
Pass.
Would it shock you if he ended up in that company?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. We do have SummerSlam coming up. You came back to the WWE at the Survivor Series in 2023. Royal Rumble was your last match, suffered an injury. I would imagine, I mean, you guys are so used to injuries. It's part of your gig, unfortunately. I would imagine, and I know you also had a, you had a serious injury years ago with the Mercer. I would imagine this one, given how you came back, the fans ate up the comeback. It was one of the best comebacks. Everyone loved it. And then so shortly after you, in terms of your career injuries, how depressing was this one for you?
You know, they all suck.
Yeah.
You know, I'm such a curious case though, because people will say, oh, he's injured. And look what I have done while injured. I'm still the most interesting talked about guy in professional wrestling. I still sell the most t-shirts. I still have the highest rated segments. And I'm tired of pretending that I have to be humble about that, you know, because people will use my being injured as some sort of a negative. And I've just turned it into this blossoming positive. So, it bums me out when you get hurt, but when you've been an athlete for decades, you kind of get used to it and you kind of realize it, like, okay, you cry about it for 8 minutes, have a cry with your wife about it and go, ah, this really sucked because we had these plans and plans are disrupted. But a lot of the time, the best things come from when stuff goes haywire.
Yeah.
You know, if you have the experience and the knowledge to actually use what you've been given, like we have. I can't really complain. I just try to look at the positives of it, and people will be like, well, positives of being injured. Yeah, it gave me something to focus on. It gave me something to really just bust my ass and not prove anybody wrong, but prove myself right.
Yeah. It's funny because I talk a lot about whenever a WWE superstar comes on, I often will talk about how sometimes in the wrestling world, it's kind of weird because anytime it feels like someone goes away from injury or otherwise, it sort of helps them because people love the return. I mean, you're seeing it now with Roman, like people are dying for Roman to come back. Your case was you had just come back and your case was sort of not that, where going away didn't, but I wanted to get into that and I'm glad you mentioned it. The way you guys have weaved yourself in while injured has been really masterful. It was especially that pay-per-view. I think it was the one overseas where you came in as the ref, and the way they shot it with the camera was brilliant. Yeah. And, you know, how have you had, so you're injured, plans change. Have you had a lot of fun figuring out how to weave yourself in while you're not allowed, while you can't wrestle?
Yeah, it's not so much an obstacle as it is just a challenge. You know, like I could have just went away again. That's normally not fun. But being around and being in the mix and being backstage for a lot of the shows that I don't even appear on, and just trying to still figure out the new regime and the new culture and everything like that has been creatively challenging, but I think it's something that has helped me remain positive. You know, I'm not just sitting at home sulking, like I'm still in the mix, and I think it just goes to show you that, you know, when you're good at this, you're good at it. It's not just the one thing, you know.
I should have mentioned at the top, I said CM Punk will face Drew McIntyre SummerSlam this Saturday exclusively on Peacock, and Seth Rollins will be the special guest referee. I'm sure you're thrilled about that decision.
Yeah, what am I supposed to do? Like, we don't got to talk about Seth, but it's...
Well, you know, we have to talk about Seth.
It is what it is.
Yeah, we have to talk about Seth only because I had him on the podcast right after you had come back, and I was trying to get into, like, his reaction when you came back at Survivor Series, and...
Yeah.
He's adamant that he didn't know you were coming back till your music hit and you walked out. So if that's the case, do you get like extra pleasure that you pissed him off so much at your return?
No, I don't really care what his attitude is. Obviously we know, like, he's upset that I'm around, but I've never really cared, you know. And that's the thing about people that'll tell you like what a bad guy I am. They won't tell you about all the times that I've helped them in the past, you know. So it's just another interesting wrinkle about being who I am.
You're both Chicago sports fans. You can't bond over that. Put the differences.
The dude's from like Idaho. What are you talking about, Chicago?
No, isn't he from Iowa? Fan? He's from Iowa, but isn't he a big Bears? He's a big Bears fan.
What's the difference between Iowa and Idaho?
Well,
potatoes?
I'm from New York, so like that. You're asking the wrong person that question. No. Potatoes. You both Bears fans. You don't know. You guys never like cross paths in the locker room, but like Caleb Williams can't wait this year. It's just. Doesn't happen. No. Are you excited about Caleb Williams this year?
I know Seth's probably a much bigger football guy than I am. Right. I can't get excited about anything Bears because it's the Bears and it's the McCaskies. And it's just, you know, you want to hear it from a Bears fan. Go talk to Seth. You want to hear it straight from a Chicago guy, man. Ownership and the management has been rotten since 86, you know?
Yeah. I know you're more of a hockey guy. Hockey's your sport. Yeah. And I'm not a big hockey guy. So that's a problem for us. Cause I have no questions about hockey.
It's no problem. I mean, you know how dominant the Chicago Blackhawks were in the 2010s. Yes.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, like it was Bill Wirtz was the owner when Bill Wirtz was no longer the owner. Look what happened.
Yeah,
McCaskey's got to go.
We have that going on with the Yankees a little bit. George Steinbrenner died, and now Hal doesn't do anything. Tell me about, there's a lot going on with WWE. Like I said, we have SummerSlam. You have your match against Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, referee. You know, this is a sports media podcast technically, so I'm fascinated, and I know a lot of WWE fans are too, about the move that's coming up with Monday Night Raw going to Netflix. I'm curious, you as a performer, how do you feel about it? Are you... You know, everyone thinks we're going to push the boundaries a little more. We're not going to go full Attitude Era, but maybe we can push the envelope. I'm just curious what you think as one of the top guys in the company.
I feel like we're pushing the envelope now, and I don't want people to use Netflix as a crutch to say the F word. And I feel like that's immediately where everybody goes, oh, we're going to get the swear. And it's just like, no, because then if everybody swears – it doesn't mean anything. If everybody's throwing the bird, it doesn't mean anything. If every show somebody's, you know, bleeding and they fall off a building, it doesn't mean anything. The only thing that excites me about Netflix is what should excite everybody about Netflix is we are going to be seen by billions more people. Like it's unfathomable, I think, to a lot of people what the Netflix deal means to a wrestler in WWE. You know, because USA Network has broadcasted professional wrestling for WWE for decades. Raw has always been on USA. So for it to go to a streaming service where, like, you know, I don't have the USA Network app on my phone, but I have the Netflix app on my phone. Right. And I guarantee you it's like that worldwide. So we are going to have doors kicked in a lot of different markets and a lot of different countries, you know, all over the world. And to me, that's exciting.
Yeah. Your point, you make a great point. You just, you know, if someone goes on TV and they're just saying the F word every week, it means nothing. But
yes.
Do you feel like, take out the cursing, do you feel like you could be more creative at Netflix?
Yeah, but I think a lot of people need a filter. You know, like a lot of people need that somebody to produce them and say, no, we're not going to do that. Like Netflix just doesn't mean you're going to get like all these wild, like lesbian angles or something like that, that some wrestling fans seem to think, but maybe we could be a little bit more edgy. Yeah, maybe, you know, but I already feel like since Vince is gone, a lot of what people thought were kind of strange, like not calling a hospital, calling it a medical facility. So like that's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
All that's in the past already. So you know, I'm just looking forward to the reach that Netflix has.
Got it. It's funny. You mentioned Vince and I was just gonna, when you came back, I mean, it's really, it's not Triple H. There's a guy, Triple H, Paul Levesque, Hunter, a lot of names.
We all got names, man.
Yeah, yeah. How has it been working with him compared to Vince?
It's been great. I honestly, like, if I ever, how do I put this? In the world where media literacy is absolutely 6 feet under dead and people just sensationalize headlines. You know, I think Vince would make people wait outside his office. There'd be like a line, you know what I mean? And people would be like intimidated by that. And I don't get that read off of Triple H at all. You know, I don't see people like, you know, waiting outside his office. Like, oh, how long you been here? I've been here for 3 hours, you know, like, I never had that with Vince. I would always just like go in and ask him a question, you know, if I needed to, never trying to waste his time, never trying to waste Triple H's time. But I see him being a lot more hands-on with people and approachable and accessible, you know? So he wants everybody to be their best because he wants the show to be the best. So there's no, you know, like leftover 80s, you know, macho kind of weird energy going on.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys. How's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you brought up Vince and some people need to be filtered, it made me think of this because I remember I had Roman on, I don't know, this was a couple of years ago, and he had talked about how he's not scripted. He can go out and do a promo and he's not scripted. You are the best, one of the best talkers in WWE. Everyone loves seeing you at a microphone. Everyone knows about your promos. Where are you at now? Like, do you have to be scripted? Do you have to filter things through Triple H? Can you go out there on your own when you're doing, especially for someone like you, you've been around so long and there is an excitement level that the fan has when they see you with a microphone in the ring. Where are you at with promos and all that stuff?
I think that you have to be extremely trusted and proven, like Roman, to get to that level. You know, whereas some people might absolutely lose their minds with no parameters, or, you know, some people tend to lean on the, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is permission, because they know. And that's a good key too. Like, if you know, like, hey, what if I say this, the answer is going to be no, like, just don't say it.
Right.
You know, right. You probably just wind up getting everybody in trouble. But I'm on that same level. I've always been at where, you know, if somebody who has just been hired as a writer hands me 8 pages and goes, here's what you're saying, I just kind of go, well, no, that you don't know me, you haven't lived my life, you don't know where I'm coming from, like, you know. And I used to have the reputation of being like, I'm not saying any of this, I'll put it in my own words, which is a difficult skill to learn. But now that doesn't happen, you know. I will gleefully work with a writer, but it's instead of them saying, here's what you're saying, it's what do you want to say. And, you know, if I think, hey, what do you think of this, if I have a question to ask Triple H or anything like that, you know, a guy like Roman and a guy like me, I think experience and being proven and being trusted like that for so long goes such a long way that, you know, the temperature of the room and you know where the line is. I've always been great at knowing exactly where that line is and just going a little bit over it. So nobody ever really knows what is going to happen or what's reality when I got the microphone in my hand.
If you can share this with us, I would love it, because I'm sure the listeners would love to know this. Can you share with us any time in your career where you did get in trouble for a promo, or like you said something and you get backstage and someone's pissed off, or didn't, maybe, you know, you shouldn't have said this, shouldn't have said that. Has there ever been a time that sticks out where you did ruffle feathers? Because you're known as someone who would probably ruffle feathers, the character-wise, maybe, on what we see on TV. But I would love to know backstage if there was ever a scolding for CM Punk.
I mean, I'm trying to think. Scolding, no. Like,
how about it? You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that.
Well, I expected that after the pipe bomb. But I think it was so good. And that's another thing. Like, you have to trust your instincts and know that, like, what you, if it's great, they can't say anything.
Right.
Pipe bomb was great. So Vince was just like, I smell money. Great.
Right.
You know, you can't be mad at me. Like, if you go out there and you lay an egg doing some wacky stuff, like, chances are you're not going to get the microphone ever again. I think I've recently accidentally like slipped up and said things like dipshits and stuff like that, you know, like, and like, I don't mean to say it. I don't mean to just be like, oh, look at me, I'm edgy and I'm swearing, you know?
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't understand like getting in trouble for a like dipshit. Like, how could have, like, that's just, well, no one's getting upset or offended by that. Nobody.
Yeah. I understand that, but it's also, you know, weigh it against like the Rock coming back and dropping F-bombs on Raw, you know? And right. I see the perspective of kids like, oh, we can all swear now. And then I have to be the guy that goes, I understand where you're coming from. I used to be there, but there's a big difference between you dropping an F-bomb and the Rock dropping an F-bomb.
Right. Right.
You know, like, he, like, that's the thing, forgiveness and permission. Like, he can get away with it.
Dipshit is a great insult. It should be used more.
Oh, it's fantastic. And, you know, when you're like me and you know.
If I had to say like
dipshits all the time.
Yeah. Like, if I gave you a mic right now and put you in a ring and you had to tell me who's the biggest dipshit, who would it be?
I mean, pick one, my opponent or my referee. Which one do you want to talk about?
Well, who, that's which
Drew
one?
Or Seth?
Well, who's the bigger one in your opinion?
I don't know. Are we talking about just like overall cognitive abilities or like the way they dress? What are we talking about?
Overall,
phew, man, that's a dead heat, brother. There's 1A and 1B right there. I feel like Drew wins that battle. Yeah, so he's, you know, right. if he's the champion of anything, which we know he's not, he's the champion of the dipshits, I suppose.
All right, well, that works out well that's your opponent then on Saturday at SummerSlam. I slipped and said WrestleMania because when you were talking about Roman, I had it in my head. I wanted to ask you the WrestleMania 40 main event that we just had this year.
Yeah.
One of the rare times where it was universally loved. I mean, we live in a time now where nobody agrees on everything. That just doesn't. But everyone loved that main event with Cody finishing his story. And then we had, obviously, along the way, The Rock was there, Cena, The Undertaker. So the fans loved it. I'm curious, are you watching backstage? Are you consuming it? Are you into it as well? Do you know The Undertaker is going to show up? Is that a surprise? Are you like, holy shit, The Undertaker's here, like all of us? I'm so curious about how a WWE wrestler experienced that main event and what your process
is. I think it's different for a lot of different people, depending on, you know, the level or, you know, maybe how long you've been there. I don't want to know stuff a lot of the times. I take that approach that I learned from when I have to do commentary. It's just like the less I actually know and I can actually just focus on what's going on, the better, you know, it, because I haven't been able to watch professional wrestling through the lens and the eyes of a truth, like just a fan for so long. So I don't ask questions. I don't want to know what's going on. You know, you see the Undertaker backstage, you can kind of put it together. You're like, okay, but it doesn't mean I necessarily, you know, like when I go to a restaurant and I order, like I go to a nice sushi restaurant and I want to get like omakase from the chef. Like, I don't want to know how you do it. I don't want to watch you do it. I don't want to, you know, like I don't have to sit over your shoulder and know the ingredients. Like when it's presented to me, and it, like, that's what I want. But because Cody approached me before the match and he said, hey, you know, if this thing goes my way, I'd like you to come out afterwards and, you know, be part of the celebration. And I was like, oh, okay. So I got to sit in Gorilla and watch everything unfold. And it was super exciting because you get to see, you know, Cena roll through. And it's fascinating for me as a performer to watch people and what they do before they go out. You know, it's like when you go to a ballpark and you watch somebody walk out of the dugout and get in the batter's box. Like, what are they doing to warm up? Are they using the donut? Are they doing a full swing? Or, you know, like what are they doing? You know, Rock's back there getting air, you know, trying to amp himself up. Cena's trying to, you know, warm himself up. It's fascinating to watch all that and then watch them go out and do that. So that's always a fun experience. And you learn that way, you know, you learn the way things work backstage.
And is there chatter amongst the wrestlers backstage about like, oh, this crowd's into it, or, you know, oh, this is going over really well, or you're just like locked in watching it?
No, I mean, a lot of people hoot and holler when stuff gets paid off and goes right. You know, like everybody's kind of celebrating. It's a great atmosphere. It's like a team. I mean, it's funny. Wrestling's a team sport, except when you're in the ring. It's just, you know, it's kind of all up to you, but you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes behind the scenes that is really a team effort, and to watch everybody kind of come together and people are sharing high fives and just smiles. And that's, man, that nothing beats that.
Yeah. Speaking of WrestleMania weekend, one of the highlights also was Paul Heyman going into the WWE Hall of Fame. I know you and Mr. Heyman have a very special relationship.
Yeah.
Tell me, what his going into the Hall of Fame, obviously that's a no-brainer. Your relationship with Heyman, if you want to just tell me what that's like these days, we know him, you know, he was with Roman for so long. Do you still pick his brain? Are there still conversations about things? What's the relationship like with Paul Heyman?
Yeah, no, I pick his brain all the time. And it's funny, like, people were asking me if I was going to induct him into the Hall of Fame. And I just kept telling everybody, I assume it's going to be Roman. But this is how you know Paul Heyman is the greatest manager, advocate, friend, representative, whatever you want to call him, of all time. Is could have been me that inducted him. It could have been Roman. It was Roman. It could have been Brock. It could have been Steve Austin. It could have been Rick Rude. It could have been so many of what we like to call generational superstars, like people that really, really affected or changed the business. And that's because Paul Heyman has his fingerprints all over decades of people that have sold tickets, drawn money, and been categorized as the best talkers, wrestlers, minds, what have you, in the wrestling world. Fascinating that he has that. You know, like Medusa could have inducted him. Like, he's just been the guy behind the guy for so long.
The idea that I had, and I tweeted this out, and it got a ton of reaction, which I wasn't expecting. I thought the best person to induct Paul Heyman into the Hall of Fame would have been Paul Heyman. Like, he could have come out there with his whole, my name is Paul Heyman, I'm here to induct the greatest. You know, it would have worked. It would have been tremendous.
He sort of did it. He put the trench coat on and he did the Paul Dangerously thing. You know, like, so he kind of did it. But yeah,
I was hoping for that.
We can put him in again next year too. Like, that's the other thing too. Like, he went in, I don't know why, you know, there's so many different wings. Guys are going in as wrestlers. Guys are going in as managers. Put him in again every year just to get the speech.
I wrote a column once that saying that for SI.com that Bobby Heenan was the greatest manager of all time. And then I had Paul Heyman on the podcast a couple of months later, and he spent the first 10 minutes like ripping me a new asshole for that. But again, he's more than a manager. He's, you know, multiple titles.
There's an argument. There's an argument there, but I feel like as we all get older, and the older generation unfortunately, you know, disappears, you're going to have people that are like, who's Bobby Heenan? That's just life. You know, we could argue about who the best baseball player is. We could argue about who the best hockey player is, whatever. There's always going to be a newer generation that focuses on like what's more current.
If you're a wrestling fan saying, who's Bobby Heenan, get your ass on YouTube. That's all I would say.
I mean, that's the world we live in now.
Or the WWE Network on Peacock. Do it that way too. I mentioned that I had tweeted about Heyman should induct Heyman. I noticed in doing a little research for the interview, you have not tweeted since June 3rd, 2022, but you're active on Instagram. So I'm just curious why the departure from the cesspool known as Twitter.
You said it. Twitter is absolute trash. I don't want to hang out anywhere where people are trying to tell me to kill myself and what a horrible person I am. And on Instagram, I get to look at puppies, and that's cool.
Can I just tell you, I shouldn't admit this publicly. Because I have a WWE person on, you said puppies, and I did not think of dogs. I'm a Jerry Lawler guy, so that I was like, oh, well, that's interesting that Punk would admit that. But
see, maybe we'll get some boobies on Netflix. You never know. You never know. No, but Twitter's an awful place.
Yeah.
I love wrestling fans. I don't necessarily love Twitter wrestling fans. You know, like the people who say the most despicable things to you, like there's no consequences, and then follow it up with like, oh, but so and so's mental health is so important. They're all fucked. Fuck them.
Was the timing? Sorry. No. You could say fuck here. We're not USA Network.
We're on Netflix, baby.
Yeah. We're not USA Network. So let it fly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did that time up with what happened in AEW when you had that press conference where you said you work with children and then there was a fight and then you
No, I think I ditched Twitter before that. Yeah.
I know there are probably people listening to this waiting for me to ask you about all that stuff. I would imagine you're so sick of talking about that, and there's nothing else to say about the way you left AW, right? I mean, is there anything else to cover? I mean, you've covered it all.
I know.
Well, I had to ask you about the Shane McMahon thing because that happened today, and you know, there's photo proof now. So, like, if I have you on and I don't ask, they're gonna think I'm a nuts.
That's all good. No, I understand.
Yeah, yeah. Do you when AEW made a big deal about showing the footage of what happened, did that irritate you, or you didn't care?
It's kind of like I have to wrestle Drew McIntyre, right? And this is just this garbage person that I don't want in my life, you know? But this is the fight game. It's the shit talk business, you know? It's just like fighting in the UFC. You see these guys ripping at each other, ugly press conferences, getting personal. And it's just like, I don't necessarily enjoy that energy. You know, but the payoff is I get to go in a ring and I get to, you know, blacken eyes and chip teeth and, you know, make Drew sob and like do whatever else in my head that I hope to do to him. So it's just, it felt really ugly. Like, but then I was just like, why, like showing that footage isn't gonna help them or hurt me. So I was just like, whatever. And you know, being the top draw in like two different companies is pretty wild, you know, like, thanks guys.
Cody has said in interviews, he doesn't root against AEW. Do you root against them or you just don't care?
No, I don't root against them. I think it's easy to be able to say like, oh, you know, Can't wait till something bad happens to them. But the reality is there's a lot of people backstage that earn a paycheck. I still have friends that work there. So it's not like I'm hoping somebody loses their job or everybody loses their job or something like that. It's just, I look at it like it's just not the same business that I'm in. And if you're trying to get paid and you can go there, go get paid. Congratulations.
When you came back to the WWE, it from everything I've read, it happened pretty quickly. You get a phone call, you talk to Hunter on FaceTime. Yeah. When that gap you had in between, did you think in your head, like, eventually I'll be able to go back to WWE? Or did you ever have a point where you thought I would never be able to go back to WWE?
Yeah, obviously my attitude 10 years ago was I'm done with wrestling, and you know, there's certain people that want to kind of crucify me for that. But the truth is, just like, I was so burnt out. You know, you dedicate your life to something, and it took me X amount of years to get to WWE, and I was there for 10 years. And like, people don't realize, you know, like, who is the one guy that wrestled the most matches every year in WWE for consecutive years? It was me. You know, I was burnt out. It takes a while to come back from burning out, you know, and across the board, everybody, I feel like, has done it in some way. Paul Heyman left.
Right.
Paul Heyman came back. I think the door being open with Vince leaving, I think really kind of almost expedited things, you know. Being told that it's a completely different place and kind of having to have blind faith to go back into that is a risk. But now I can tell you, I think it's a completely different place. You know, I saw Governor Ventura the other day.
I was going to ask you about that.
Dude, absolutely 100% blown away. One of the coolest things that's ever happened to me in my life is he tells me that he saw I came back. And he said, the place must have changed. If Punk's back, I'll go back. What?
So you were responsible for him at Monday Night Raw. According to him. You're not. I mean, that's wild. That's pretty wild.
I can't take credit for it, but I think a guy like me being back, I think speaks volumes. Obviously, it does.
So if it was the same company and Vince was still there, do you go back?
I don't think so. No, I think, someday I'll write a book and I'll tell everybody about
If anyone should write a book. And I should say, give everyone, I'm going to wrap up with a couple of quick things, but SummerSlam is this Saturday exclusively on Peacock. CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre, special guest referee Seth Rollins, which is not making Punk very happy. And it's also in the Cleveland Browns Stadium. Is that super cool when you guys get to wrestle in a football stadium like that? I would imagine that gets you a little bit amped up.
Oh, 100%. It's just wild how big everything's become. Going back to Netflix, that's why it's exciting to me, because it's just like, oh, how much bigger can this get? How do we push the envelope to like really blow the top off this thing? I think momentum since WrestleMania has been like a freight train. We've maintained it. Cody on top and SmackDown is doing tremendous business internationally. Mexico just came back from Japan, sold out shows in Tokyo.
The videos Monterey, of those shows are wild. Yeah, the videos are wild from those shows.
It's crazy. So, wrestling in front of that many people and you don't have to fly internationally.
Awesome. All right. I'm going to wrap up. I got to do a couple of quick things here. I have to tell you, you did one of my all-time favorite things in the history of professional wrestling. You don't get enough credit for it. And, wrestling fans remember like big storylines and big swerves and all this stuff. You having Howard Finkel as your special ring announcer, I think was one of the greatest things in the history, because I love Howard Finkel. And in fact, I tried to get him on. I had an older podcast once, and I guess that was when his health started to decline. I would have loved to have interviewed him because he was there forever. And, growing up in the 80s is that, that is a guy that should be celebrated more. So that was, whose idea was that and how much fun was that?
That was my idea, because it was a very CM Punk thing to do. And it's just like one of those things that is like, sometimes you get the light bulb. Yeah. Oh man, we're in the garden. Del Rio has his personal ring announcer. I feel like I should have my, it's like such a smart ass CM Punk thing to do, and certain people were like, oh, Howard's not, Howard doesn't look good on television. And I was just like, it's a good thing. Yeah. I don't give a shit what he looks like. I need that voice, and I need it in the garden, like such a baby face move, but it's so awesome. Cause I struggle sometimes being an overly saccharine baby face, so I either really need to be like a smart ass, or I need like a really strong foil that people really want to see me get my hands on,
If we eventually get a CM Punk Cody Rhodes feud, you think he's the face right now. Would we get two faces, or would you have to get down and dirty?
I think, and this is the nicest thing I'll probably say about Seth Rollins. I think if you put me in, when it's superstar versus superstar, right? If it's Cody and Punk, or if it's Punk and Seth, I think that is the rare air magic where we get to let the fans just do whatever you want.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just two strong personalities. You look back at how many times Rock and Stone Cold main event in WrestleMania, can you tell me who the bad guy and who the good guy was? No. Or was it just two icons? I think in that situation, but of course Cody would 100% be the villain, because everybody loves me.
Well, at some point when he becomes a heel, that'll be wild too. So there's a lot to play out with both of you. All right. I got to end it sort of unprofessionally. Whenever I tell people I have a WWE person come on, I always get bombarded with ask him this. Yep. More than anyone else. But I have to say, so my niece is a huge WWE fan, Lena. And when she heard you come, her all-time favorite wrestler is AJ Lee. And she's like, you have to ask him. Now, again, I said, CM Punk is not going to decide if his wife comes back. She has to, but I said I would mention it to you, so maybe you can push your wife in that direction or do something where AJ Lee comes back for my niece. So
just want to throw that out. Your niece, bless her heart. You cannot possibly push my wife in any direction she does not want to go.
Right.
I get this question every single time I'm interviewed. I do not mind because it makes sense to me. Because I am as big a fan of AJ Lee as your niece or all of her legions of fans. You know, she inspired an entire generation of female wrestlers, and I think you're seeing a lot of them come through NXT now. There's even some that aren't, you know, on the indies and everything like that. So what she did resonated. As a fan, 100%, I would do cartwheels, you know, if she came back. But I cannot make her do anything, you know, like, and that's not the relationship we have. Like, you know, I would never try to force her to do anything. I wouldn't want to do myself, even though that sounds weird because I came back.
Nobody wants to be told what to do. And my cousin's little son, Nino, said, I have to say hi to you because he is a huge fan of you. So Nino says hi to CM Punk. So I had to do that.
All right, Nino.
All right. One thing about you, for your wife, you can't tell her what to do, but you coming back and and now it's really going to take off with SummerSlam because you're back from the injury. Do you think that could give her the itch, or she's like, you're not her? Happens to you doesn't, because I would imagine if she sees like the pops you get sometimes, I would think that would be like she doesn't care. She doesn't care.
She doesn't care about any of that.
Okay. No. Okay.
I think a lot of it has to boil down to like, because she's extremely busy doing all her other projects and stuff like that. So it's a question of like, does she even have the time?
Yeah.
You know, it's a fascinating question.
I had to get it in. All right, so we've got SummerSlam Saturday night, Peacock exclusive, Cleveland Brown Stadium. Now, WrestleMania, I remember that was the first night, it was people complaining it was too cold. Was that what happened?
It was cold.
Yeah. Okay. Now we're in the middle of summer. Like, if you're wrestling a match, what's better, 30 degrees or 90 degrees for you?
90 degrees, easily 90 degrees.
How come?
Just because at that point you're warm, you know. When I wrestled Undertaker at was it MetLife Stadium 2013, I always joke with Taker. It was like, it takes so goddamn long to get to the ring. I warmed up and then I'm sitting in the ring waiting for you to walk down. It's 5 minutes. I'm freezing my ass off already. It was cold that night. So
right,
you know. Like, that's one of the reasons I just started hot, you know, just because I needed to warm up. Like, as an athlete, I do not want to be cold. Terrified about, like, you know, pulling something or hurting yourself.
Have you checked the weather for Cleveland on Saturday?
I have not. No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, so it's a summer, so you don't care. Like, if it's hot, it's hot, and it's not going to.
What's it going to do? Rain? Right. Bring it on.
Yeah. That'll add to the excitement.
Yes.
So it's CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre with Seth Rollins as the guest referee. So I think you'll be very angry that night with those two there with you. Hopefully it comes out well for you, and you know, we go on to the next step.
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. Good luck. And
no problem, Jimmy. Pleasure talking to you. Anytime you need to.
Thank you. All right, take it easy. Be well. Okay, thanks. All right, my many, many thanks to CM Punk. Great interview with CM Punk. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you're new here, a new wrestling fan listening to SI Media with Jimmy Trina, hit the subscribe button and make sure you go into the archives and check out previous interviews. If you think this is the only episode this week, you are wrong. We'll have an episode on Friday with John O'Ran and Salicata and Train of Thoughts. All right, that wraps it up for this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. My thanks to CM Punk. Stay safe and take care.
The cat sat on the mat.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.